You know, there's an old saying that I've always loved, and it goes like this. It's that, you know, everybody seems normal till you get to know them. You know, I don't know about you, but, you know, the longer this COVID thing goes on, and maybe it's just my age, the more, you know, I realize how much craziness there is around me. I mean, I don't know about you, but, you know, I mean, isn't it easy to point out the craziness in other people? But then I have to say, there's probably that same craziness in me. Now, to confess, you know, I mean, I think my craziness is really cute. But those other people, some of them, their craziness is, I mean, I don't like it. I mean, it's just out there. It's nuts. It's wild. It's, you know, it's like it makes no sense to me. Everybody seems normal till you get to know them. I say that because when I read the epistle for today, I saw that section of the epistle that I've always loved, that I've loved since the first time I read it in the scripture. It reads, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'll say it, rejoice. You know, it's an interesting thought. And actually what Paul's saying is, this isn't just a thought, this is a command. I want you to rejoice in the Lord. I want you to have joy in the Lord. I want you to know it. And you know what? It's so important. I'm going to say it again. Rejoice. Rejoicing. How do you get there? It's not just an attitude, is it? It is an attitude, but it is something that has to be developed, because that attitude of rejoicing, of joy, demands that you have a focus. And that joy, that you have that focus, it demands that you go right on and you come to the place where, to be real honest with you, you do it because you choose to do it. You do it because you choose to do it. You know, Viktor Frankl, the great psychiatrist that was in the death camps, you know, he was a Jew in a death camp. And he said, you know, the last real freedom that we all have is our attitude. We get to choose that. Can't be taken away from you. No matter what the situation you're in, you get to choose your attitude. But how often do we choose the attitude of being grateful? You know, how often do we do that? You know, many times when we say we're grateful, and that we're rejoicing, you know, I mean, do we really choose that? Do we have that sense of joy within ourselves, of gratitude within ourselves? I have to laugh, because when I look at the scripture here and Paul's giving this command to rejoice, you know, Paul had no reason to rejoice, if you want the truth. You know, I don't know about you, but the book that we're reading is from Philippians. And in the book of Philippians, it goes along with, now let me get this right, I learned this when I was a little kid, General Electric Power Company. The book of Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. And they're all called the prison epistles. In other words, they're letters from prison that Paul writes. Now, why was he in prison? At this point, he's about 2 years in prison. And the reason why he's in prison is because he was falsely accused of inciting a riot. He's in Rome. He's in Rome. And he's falsely accused of inciting a riot. So, I mean, he's there with trumped-up charges. He's there with, you know, truly, you know, fabricated thoughts that have gotten in here. Now, he should have gotten out, at least on bail. Truth of the matter is, well, the governor that was in charge, well, he wouldn't let Paul out, because he wanted a bribe from Paul to get him out. The governor changes. He thinks he's got another shot. You know what happens there? He doesn't want to do it because politically it's just incorrect. He's got to keep the Jews who actually presented the charges against him. He wants to keep them there. If you don't believe me, just read the book of Acts. Now, to make things worse, on the way to Rome, Paul is in a shipwreck. He's in a shipwreck. I mean, it's not exactly, you know, I mean, it's not easy to have a joy in a shipwreck. But here he is in a shipwreck, and when he arrives, he thought that he was going to have, even if he was in prison, he thought he'd have all the support from all the other pastors around, but they're highly jealous of him. And they aren't going to throw their weight behind Paul. They sort of just distance themselves from Paul. Paul has every reason not to rejoice. And yet in the midst of it, he writes this letter saying, "Rejoice in the Lord always again. I'll say rejoice." Rejoice. Have that attitude because you're focused. And because you're focused, you choose to do it. It really comes down to that choice that's within you. It's interesting because after that, I think he says very clearly, he says, "Let your gentleness be known to everyone." Paul's such a pragmatician. I mean, I love Paul for that. You know, he's so practical. He says, you know what? It's sometimes easy to say, you know, I've got joy. You know, I mean, all of us, don't you? Have you ever heard somebody say, "Yeah, I'm really joyful"? And you know they aren't joyful. But what does he say? He says, "Let your gentleness be made known to everyone." The reason why he says that is because he knows that, you know, you can fake it in the joy part. But gentleness, you can't fake gentleness. Either you're gentle or you're not. And so he says, be gentle because then your joy is really going to be real. And why are you gentle? Why can you focus? It's because the Lord is near. He's not far off. He's near. He's with you. So focus on him. Don't focus on all the stuff that's around you. Focus on him. Then he says the big one. He says, do not worry about anything. You know, don't you love it when people say, I'll never forget preaching a sermon back in my last parish in Fort Walton. It's probably about 20 years ago. And I said, don't worry about anything. You know, I think I said something like, worry is praying against God because God's the one that's got to take care of it. After the sermon was over, you know, it was coffee hour, and I was standing over talking to somebody else, and I heard two older women talking. She goes, Yeah, Father Jim said, don't worry about anything. I'd never get anything done if I didn't worry, you know? I mean, I got to keep worrying no matter what, because if I don't worry, it's not going to get done. And I'm thinking, oh, yeah, she really heard me. I'm such a good preacher. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and supplication, make your needs known to God. Through prayer and supplication. You know what supplication is? Supplication is prayer. But supplication is where you really are intent on prayer. In other words, prayer on bended knee. Prayer when you're really humbling yourselves. But Paul, once again, does something really interesting. He said, by prayer and supplication with, and you can read it, thanksgiving. There's the gratitude. It's amazing how gratitude and joy work hand in hand, isn't it? They work right side by side. They're like, you know, they may not be identical twins, but they are definitely fraternal twins. By prayer and supplication. Well, why do you do that? Because when you're giving your worries to God, you got to make the transaction. Most of us just give him a list of worries, but we don't do it fully. We call it prayer, but really it's just giving God a list. And when we give in prayer our worries, our resentments, our thoughts, we are not just giving God our list, what we're actually doing is giving the very thing that's within inside us. It's the very thing that's within inside us, because when we're giving away, we make our needs known to the Lord. We make them known to him. And so we introduce him. Lord, I want to introduce you. Here's my worries. You know, I mean, most of us, I think, maybe you don't, but spiritually, a lot of times, I just say, I'm really worried about this, Lord. Please take care of it. That's not prayer. Prayer is when I say, Lord, this is my concern. This is my heart. Take it from me. I leave it. I give it to you. And I'm not going to pick it up again. I mean, how many times have you heard, you know, where you bring your altars, you bring your concerns to the Lord and lay them at the altar and you receive communion and you pick them back up and you go back to your seat. You see, that's not what it's all about. It's where you actually rend them to you, the Lord. You'll love, but you do it in thanksgiving. God, I thank you for the fact that I can hand this off to you. God, I want to thank you for the fact that this is tearing me apart. You know, the other day on Wednesday, it was funny because I was preaching, and as I was preaching about, you know, not this scripture, but another one, all of a sudden it came out of my mouth, and I really believe that it was not me. That God said it, that where all of a sudden I said, you know, do you ever realize that all the worries, all the resentments that you have inside yourself, I mean, anybody here can't say they have a few worries and resentments inside themselves? Okay? Well, all those worries and resentments inside, you know what else is inside yourself? The Holy Spirit. You ever think about that? You have the Holy Spirit. You have the grace of God within you. The very person of God within you. Because the Holy Spirit's been given to you at baptism. You got it. It's already in there. Now, I think sometimes we keep that Holy Spirit and those worries, we kind of keep them in separate rooms. You know? At least I do. I'm going to keep my worries over here because, well, I want to talk to God about them, but I'm really not going to give them to him. And I want to keep the Holy Spirit over here, you know, and they may see each other, passing each other, but they aren't going to have a meal with each other. And yet what we've got to do is realize that the Holy Spirit that's within us is more powerful than any worry that we can have. And that in essence, it's the Holy Spirit who prays for us when we aren't capable of praying for ourselves, that we pray to the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit will, in a sense, take those worries, take those resentments, and give them to God. The only person that can stand in the way of that is, guess who? You. And yet, so often in times, I think that's what happens in our own lives, isn't it? And it happens because we break it down. We don't pray in the sense of joy. Psalm 16 says, very clearly it says, the fullness of the joy of the Lord is in his presence. And the Lord is near. So why is it that we can't let go of it? I think it's because we don't want to make the choice to really let go of it. Be up front with you. I think most of us are more comfortable and more familiar with our worries and our concerns, and they've always been there. And by God, I don't know what I'd feel like if I didn't have them. I always like that little sense of, you know, tension that's within me. And yet, is that really healthy? Most of us don't want it, but we don't know what to do without it. You see, I believe what the scripture is telling us more than anything else is this, is that we can have the freedom of life. That it really is here. It's present with us. We have all the ability and all the help to do it. The Holy Spirit's within us to help us to pray, to let go of those worries and those concerns, those resentments. And it's strong enough to do it if we just get out of our own way. But it all goes back to that rejoice, to that command of Paul. First, you got to have that attitude, but you get that attitude by the focus that you have. What are you thinking about all the time? If all you think about is your worries, guess what you're going to end up keeping? But if you think about God, and you choose to think about God, then all of a sudden something's going to change. Paul, once again, is the pragmatist. Because as he ends this part of the letter, what does he say? He goes, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is worthy of praise, think about these things. How often do you think about whatever is noble and true and worthy of praise? And how much do you think about the things that really, you know, sort of seem to be out there and surround you? The kingdom of God is within you. The Holy Spirit is within you. Don't just let it come along for the ride. Because it wasn't created to just come along for the ride. Let the Holy Spirit become alive in you. Let the Holy Spirit pray with you and actually ask, put more energy into asking the Holy Spirit to pray for you than making your list of your worries. Because in doing that, you will rejoice. And again, I'll say it, rejoice. And the peace that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the knowledge and love of God. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.